In my mind and in my car, we can't rewind, we've gone too far. If you're old enough, you'll know what comes next. This week, LinkedIn Formed is all about video on LinkedIn. It's LinkedIn Formed, episode 159. Well, hello and welcome everybody to episode number 159 of the LinkedIn Formed podcast. If you are a new listener, welcome. Hello, it's great to have you here. And for all of you who come every week or try to come every week, but maybe not make it every week, welcome back. So this week we are going to be talking about video, not exclusively. I've got some other stuff to cover as well. But the reason why I wanted to tackle video was, you know, I went to this social media marketing world event over in San Diego, and there were loads of people taking video all the time. I mean, I took a bit of video myself as well. There were loads of people doing videos and particularly live streaming of videos as well. And there were a few sessions on video, and every time I ever look at things like that, I think to myself, oh, do you know what? I need to up my video game. You know, really, I know how to do it. I make quite a lot of videos, but I just don't feel like I do it enough. And so one of the sort of things that I set myself when I came back, while I was on the plane on the way home, writing down my list of objectives, one of them was, you know, really got to start working on the YouTube channel and get better at video. But actually, that's not why I'm covering it in this episode. What happened was, I was starting to think about that and starting to think about how I use it and exploring different ways of using video for myself, it kind of dawned on me. I thought, do you know what? LinkedIn users don't use video anything like as much as they should do. There's loads of content going on LinkedIn. Very little of it is actually video. And yet there's all kinds of opportunities when you actually start to think about how you can use video. And it's such a powerful source of content or form of content. And I really want to encourage you as a LinkedIn user to think about, if you're not using video, why aren't you using video? Because actually the barriers to entry are pretty low these days. I'm going to do an interview a little bit later on with someone called Una Doyle Love, who is someone who knows a lot more about video than I do. We've got some interesting tips coming from her, and I'll also give you my thoughts on the whole subject. But before we get to that, let's talk about some interesting stuff that I saw this week. It's been potentially a very big week for LinkedIn this week, although you wouldn't really know it, but they actually hit 500 million members, which is obviously half a billion. I mean, that's quite a big thing, isn't it? And it kind of amuses me, this, in a way, because I can remember the days when, you know, virtually, I think every 5 million was celebrated as a big issue, certainly every 10 million, then every 50 million. And then, of course, it went up to every 100 million was celebrated, and they made a bigger deal out 400 million, they seem to have out 500 million, which is, I guess it's just one of those things, isn't it? As it just gets bigger and bigger, that the numbers become less of a big deal. But I can remember the first ever workshop I delivered in Manchester, and I remember proudly announcing at the start of the workshop that, guess what, LinkedIn's just hit 40 million users. And everyone in the room's like, wow. It just seems crazy now. When I think back, there we are at 500 million. But yeah, normally they have this every big anniversary like that in terms of numbers. They have this thing where at their head office, all the staff stand outside and someone takes a big picture and they're kind of holding the number 400, 300, 200. But no one for 500. Not as yet anyway. Maybe they just haven't been able to get everybody together to take the picture. I mean, they did bring out a blog article earlier this week, but you know, that's about it, really. Just a little bit of information about that. There's some interesting data that came with it, actually, which I thought was quite good. They were talking about the most connected countries, the most connected places, the most connected industries, and the most connected job functions. They like to just release a little bit of this kind of data from time to time, which was interesting. So most connected countries, United Arab Emirates. a bit bizarre. 211 is the average number of connections there. Then the Netherlands, then Singapore, then the United Kingdom, and then Denmark. The top five connected places in the world are London, average 307 connections, then Amsterdam, then San Francisco, then Jakarta, and then Milan. Interestingly, 221 in Milan. Top five most connected industries, no surprise here. Staffing and recruiting, the average is 702. And then venture capital, then human resources, then management consulting, and then online media. And the top five most connected job functions, no surprise here either. Human resources, number one with 415. Then product management, which did surprise me. Then business development, so that really should be number two. And then marketing, and then consulting. So, you know, stats are stats, aren't they? But I was surprised at how low those average number of connections are. I'm always saying to people in workshops, look, you know, you really need to build your network. 500 connections is no big deal these days. Most people have more than 500 connections. And there we are. We're saying, well, actually, in the United Kingdom, which is what I'm normally talking about in that case, the average is 144. But then I thought about this, and I thought, that seems low to me. But actually, on further reflection, now I think about it, of course, only 22% of the members are active. So if you're not active, you're not really connecting. So that's why the number's low. If they took the number of people from the active members, then that might be different. I suspect the number would be quite a bit higher, probably over 500, I would reckon. I mean, I don't know, but it'd be interesting to see that data as well, although I don't think they're going to give us that. We'll probably have to wait until they get to a billion, and then we might see some data like that. So there you go. It all seems a bit low-key to me, but I suppose that's just the way it is, and it's certainly not the headline of this episode either, but I thought it'd be worth mentioning to you. There is, a blog post. I'll put a link to it in the show notes at LinkedInformed. Anything that I'm talking about today will be at linkedinformed.com/episode159. All right, second piece that I wanted to talk about is to do with this new advertising thingy that they've brought out called Matched Audiences. I have mentioned it before, and AJ Wilcox, who's been a guest on the show, has talked about it quite a lot. And he actually wrote an article this week for an online magazine or a website called Marketing Land. As you know, AJ is a marketing expert, but particularly specializes in LinkedIn advertising. I saw a comment from AJ about Matched Audiences, and he said that this is such a big deal that he's now changing his advice to people. He used to say that you needed a reasonably high average order value to warrant advertising on LinkedIn because it's not cheap. He's now saying that drops dramatically, and that almost anybody, or something, I think he quotes something like 95% of people using LinkedIn for marketing purposes, business development purposes, would want to consider this. So I'm going to look into it a little bit more, given that advice, and I might get AJ back on the show to explain more about that at some stage in the future. I'm sure he'd be happy to come. He's such a nice guy, and he's so knowledgeable in this area. But he just talk about basically what this is it's like custom audiences on Facebook, and we've talked about custom audiences on Facebook before. It's called Matched Audiences, but same kind of thing. So you can upload email addresses in from a list from wherever you might get that list from. And then you can target your ads on LinkedIn, which would be like a sponsored update, to appear on the homepage feed of those people. So little tricks, for instance, as a company, what you could do is say, right, we're going to run this ad from our company page, but we're going to upload the list of first tier connections from those people in our business that are most connected. So for instance, you might have a sales team, just for the sake of argument, have five people in your sales team. Say to all of them, right, download all your connections now onto a spreadsheet, a CSV file, give them all to marketing. Marketing's going to upload them into this list, and then basically this advertising is going to appear in their homepage feed. So that's reasonably powerful. I'm not quite sure why that factor and the way this works means that that all of a sudden, you know, the cost of LinkedIn advertising isn't so high, or doesn't appear to be so high, and it makes it a more worthwhile investment. And that's probably where I need AJ's input. But have a read of the article anyway. We will revisit this subject at a further time. But as I say, I'll put a link to that in the show notes at linkedinform.com. Okay,